Hi, it's Jason.
And Christy.
And we're back with a deep dive, this time on my writing, Wings of Possibility.
And I really love this writing.
You love it every week.
Well, come on, I'm a little biased, I admit. But what I love about this week, especially, is just it really reads like a song. Like, I felt these waves of your writing. It was very poetic. And I know that this has been a time where you've been really enjoying a lot of works and finding inspiration. And so I thought it would be fun just to peer in and look at what was behind some of the inspiration, or perhaps I know you highlighted John's work this week as part of the inspiration behind this writing.
Yeah, I think writing is such a personal kind of exploration, you know, and in so much of my life I had mentors who kind of guided me through or helped me discover my style, you know, whether that was Michael at Live Nation helping me discover my style as a business leader, or, you know, or Guru Singh helping me discover certain meditation style or a style of spirituality, or our other teachers. But writing's like personal, and I think it takes a little while to discover your voice, you know, like, you know, and because we're used to writing facts, you know, on such and such a day, such and such a thing happened. And I think there's these just beautiful authors, and, you know, whether it's Baldwin or Thoreau, or more recently, Ta-Nehisi Coates with his great book, Between the World and Me, or as I talked about in here, someone who really impacted me and I would describe as my writing mentor, John Tarrant.
Mm-hmm. Who is a really cool dude.
Just an amazingly authentic and raw human being, right? Who has become a great friend and teacher, but also a mentor in writing. And I think he really has encouraged me, and in many ways given me permission to write that song that's playing inside, and to not have to follow some kind of, you know, principle of writing, but just really to unleash what's inside and to do it in an authentic way. And so as I was thinking about him, and one of the reasons why I'm thinking about him right now is because the area that he lives is, you know, in the middle of this wildfire that's raging through Northern California. And so he's very much on both of our minds and in our hearts. And so as I was thinking about him, I really wanted to write in a way that would make him proud, you know, when he read it.
That's beautiful. That's so innocent. I love it. I guess I would characterize one of my favorite aspects of John's writing is its squirrel-like nature, where it's like, and here's an idea and a story, and you kind of chase that nut, and then over here is another one, and it goes. And that's what I loved about, I think you have a very similar expression in that. I love how you weave all these stories into these writings. I'm like, how are you going to tie this in? And somehow they all come together. And so I guess that would be one of the questions. I know that one of the takeaway points, and we all probably have our own takeaways, but one of the takeaways I took from this was just really an invitation to daydream and to, you know, not lock into things being so serious or on such a straight line or a path. Mm. And what's the interplay between daydreaming and kind of following the breadcrumb trail and meditation?
Yeah. One of the first writings of John's that I read, and then I remember sprinting to the bedroom to share with you, was a writing on distraction. And I put a quote in this week's writing that said, "Inside each shard of time is a glow everlasting. Getting lost and distracted in this way is what life is for." And if, for me...
Will you read that one more time?
Yeah. "Inside each shard of time is a glow everlasting. Getting lost and distracted in this way is what life is for." Mm. And for me, I really read that in the extended writing that was a part of, to say that there is no such thing as distraction, you know. And I think I've been feeling like a little boxed in by this productivity-driven meditation that I'm reading so much about, or that we hear people talk about, that is, you know, really kind of process-oriented and really kind of like, here's the bend. If you meditate, this is what's going to happen.
You'll be more productive at work.
Yeah.
You can sleep less.
You can lose weight. You can be a better human being. And I think what John invited us to do in that writing was to just explore, you know, just to kind of recapture a little bit of this childlike innocence. So there's like this side of meditation when we're present to our breath, or when we're present to a mantra, or whatever kind of meditation we're doing, right? We're kind of, we'll call that like the you're doing it right part of meditation. And then there's the other part of meditation when you get lost, when you do daydream, when you start thinking about your wife or what you have to do today or some problem that you're having. And I think there's a tendency to say that's the bad part of meditation, right? And then catch yourself and come back to the breath, and that other part was this waste of time. And I think what John was sharing in that passage was, no, that other part is also what life is about, and therefore what meditation is about. And so I wanted to share a daydream of meditating that often happens for me, quite literally, of, you know, we'll be sitting there and you'll hear a hummingbird flutter by, right?
I had no idea how loud they were.
It's amazing. Just bzzz. Or you'll hear two squirrels playing, or you'll hear other birds moving around, or if you're meditating with your eyes open, you'll see these things. And so it's natural, you get lost and you daydream, and I think there's real beauty in that daydream. And because we believe and subscribe to the theory that meditation is simply us practicing how we want to show up in real life, mm-hmm. I think we have to be careful in vilifying daydreaming, because it's such a beautiful part of real life, right? It's where we find hope and we find possibility and we get in touch with the inner child, not just the inner child that's hurt and broken and we want to heal it, but we get in touch with the inner child who wants to play a bit and dance a bit. And so I'm glad that the writing did dance, because I wanted it to be a dance with that inner part of me and the inner part of you and the inner part of John, the inner part of all of us that just enjoys the daydreaming, you know?
I love that. And who says what's a distraction and what's not, right? I mean, like, who's the boss of that?
Well, that's the funny part, right? It's like, be here now is wherever you're at, you know? And
right.
And there's real beauty, I think, to being present in meditation and being present to the breath and focus. And that's like a real important part. But I think also we can allow the distraction part to just be a part of possibility and a part of wonder. And, you know, I know oftentimes when I get distracted in meditation, I'm writing in my head. Mm-hmm. And so who's to say that's not right? Or as John says, who's to say that's not right where you're supposed to be?
Right. And I keep throwing around this word possibility, which is like the beautiful bow that you tied these seemingly random stories together with. And I think what would be nice to do is just to share really just some practical real life ways that we keep that alive for each other. Because my very favorite line of this entire writing, and of course I might be a little bit biased, but it is, sometimes in the middle of it all, I sneak a peek at my wife when I'm meditating, but really flying around with my pretend wings, and I wonder if she's doing the same. I think she probably is, because our marriage is a sandbox. That's the gift we give each other, possibility and agreement that it's okay to fly.
Mm.
Oh, I get a little choked up just reading it. It's so beautiful. But I think it'd be nice just to explore, what does that really look like? You know, how do people who care for each other, how do we hold the space for this possibility to exist?
Yeah.
So let's just look at it. Let's throw some ideas out of ways that we consciously do that with each other.
I think for me, it's this idea that, you know, kind of like welcome home, you know, which is like no matter where you spin out to, you know, wherever, no matter where I end up on a grumpy day or in the midst of pressure, that there's this place that we can come back to. You know, in meditation, that's really the thing, right? Like you spin out and daydream, and then you welcome yourself back with love. And then when you can carry that into a relationship, then it's kind of the same thing, right? It's like no matter where you end up and where I end up throughout the day, that we're welcome each other back with a hug and a kiss. And like we know it's okay, you know, like we know that there's this general okayness, this general love, this general beauty that is the foundation of our relationship, that we can come back to again and again and again. And in that way, we can all be free to be human, right? Like you don't have to be super wife, though you are. And I don't have to be super husband, which I clearly am, right? Like we can be human and we can have a shitty day at work and perhaps not talk with the level of kindness that a perfect husband would talk with, right? Mm-hmm. And then you say like, welcome back, you know, like, hey, wow, I was shitty today. Hey, welcome back. I love you. You know, and we don't have to, I think we also don't have to spend a lot of time rehashing it or talking about it, because there's this belief that that's not who we are, that the activities of the world, the chaos of the world can get us and it can take us for a little run around the yard, but that's not who we are. Who we are is love and commitment and possibility and wonder and childlike playing in a sandbox together. And it's okay if every once in a while you throw a temper tantrum because you didn't get your shovel. I still love you. And we don't need to talk about the temper tantrum. Let's just get back to playing and having a good time and loving. And that's not to say like you don't ever talk about stuff, but I don't think we have to take the spin outs quite as seriously. Like we can take the loves and make that the real important place that we know, like we're just always welcome back with a smile and a hug and a kiss and a I love you, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that's where bookending our day the way that we do. With our daily practice. So we start our day from that place where we really root ourselves in love and clarity. And then before we go to bed at night, we stretch and we root ourselves again. And so the great thing is no matter how crazy of a day, there's only this little stretch of time in between our two bookends that it can get rowdy, you know? And I think, I really think that's a very practical way that you can keep that really present for each other all the time.
Yeah, I think as personal as meditation or spiritual practice is, that engaging in it together is one of those ways that you keep yourself honest, right? Because it's hard to be an asshole in the middle of meditation. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can't go to sleep mad when you sit down next to your wife and meditate and stretch for a minute or, you know, share some time together. I think we can, the same way that we set ourselves up with routines to make ourselves successful in business or successful in physical health, we can do the same thing in our relationship and just kind of keep that field of possibility open, you know?
Yeah. I think for me, one of the disciplines that I find really helpful, and I say disciplines because it takes real concerted effort, is really a willingness to give up being right about who I think you are, how I think things should be, how I should be, how our kids should be. Just that willingness to give up how I think it should go is, for me, I think one of the very, very key things, because my brain instantly goes there. Like, instantly thinks like I know how it should go and how people should be, and it just I find that that is my automatic pilot. And so it takes a discipline and a breath, and that's where I really find meditation helpful, is it gives me that little expanse of time when I'm in a situation where I can take a deep breath, recognize my brain's first response to something, and then take a breath and choose again and be able to really give a little bit more freedom, a little bit more space around people and situations that I really care about.
Yeah, I think that's so beautiful. And there is a reading of the interaction between the little boy and his babysitter that is what you just said, right? It is this, I want to fly. And instead of the babysitter being kind of stuck in what we call the real world, where there's no room for magic, or there's no room for love, or there's no room to breathe, she sees this opportunity to support someone that she loves and to create that space that you're talking about. And she says, so fly, you know? And then he's stuck in real life, and he says, but I don't have wings. And so she sees these beautiful leaves on the ground and gives them, says, here's your wings, you can fly. And so while that's a true story that you and I both witnessed on our walk that day, it's also, in a larger sense, can be a metaphor for how we can engage with each other. You know, you've taught me this idea that all we're ever doing is reminding each other of our innate greatness, you know? And I think that's what the babysitter did that day. You know, she had an opportunity to say, don't be silly. You can't fly. Shut up. Look at the tree. Isn't the tree wonderful? You know, we see so many parents in the forest talking about, look at the big tree. And this boy wasn't interested in the tree. He wanted to fly. In fact, I think he was interested in the tree. He wanted to fly to the top of the tree. And she gave him that. And I think we have this possibility to be that for each other. And that's what John's been for me in my writing. That's what you've been for me in love.
Champions just, for each other's
that's right.
greatness.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, right, babe, right.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Right, right.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, so I think that's...
I think that pause says we're here.
That's right. Okay, well, I hope that you enjoyed the writing this week, and I'll look forward to talking to everybody next week. Big hugs.
Big hugs.